Hello, Gallatin Valley and online listeners. You have tuned in to Desert Oracle Radio Replay on KGVM, Bozeman Community Radio, 95.9 FM and streaming at kgvm.org. I'm Roxana, your host, and this week I'm staying warm inside next to my wood stove. Stay tuned in the second half of today's show for mysterious topics closer to home. And right now, here is today's Desert Oracle Radio episode, released by Ken Lane, January 22nd, 2021. Here is Armada of the Dragoon Mountains.
Transmitting from the Mojave Wilderness in Joshua Tree, California, now is the time for Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the desert, and the desert is old, an old land. Its age visible to the naked eye. I was reading the UFO reports, the new batch of UFO reports I like to catch up on to find out what people are experiencing in various places. And there was this interesting report from some ranchers down in the southeastern corner of Arizona, close to New Mexico and the international border. It described this mountain range, I've seen but I've never been to. Even though I have been close many times, because these mountains are the Dragoon Mountains, and that means you get off the 10 at Dragoon Road, which is, of course, the exit for the thing, the mystery of the desert. Everybody stopped to see the thing at some point in their lives. I don't remember how many times I've stopped there or how many times I've driven that stretch of highway. It's one of those magical stretches of highway. Scenic and strange, with every kind of possibility in every direction. Why, just to the south is the Mexican border, Nogales and Agua Prieta and the state of Sonora. Tombstone and Bisbee on the way there. Marty Robbins wrote his song El Paso on this drive, the drive to El Paso. Because you keep seeing that sign all the way from Phoenix, really. El Paso, 420 miles. It really is. And Marty Robbins got to thinking, started writing in his yellow legal pad. And then he got out his guitar. He was in the back seat of the Cadillac. Now, due north, you've got the mighty lands of the Apache, the Hopi, the Navajo, Petrified Forest and the Four Corners, Monument Valley, Shiprock, everything. Westward is Tucson, Phoenix, Prescott, Flagstaff, the Grand Canyon, Las Vegas, Death Valley, the Mojave Wilderness, San Francisco, and San Bernardino. Tecate and Tijuana. So in all the times I went by there, drove past the Dragoon Mountains without stopping, it never occurred that maybe I ought to take the road south of the interstate for maybe 20 or 30 minutes or an hour, take a look at those strange mountains out there. Spires of white granite, weathered and twisted and often painted by long stripes of lichen. Geologists call this especially weird rock stronghold granite, and it's around 75 million years old. That's when it formed here. And you think, well, that's old. But it's the new part of the mountains, bubbled up from below, upset the old bedrock. It's my favorite kind of landscape, like the Mormon Rocks or the Granite Mountains up in Mojave National Preserve. Natural hideouts. Especially natural to you if you, like the famed Chiricahua Apache leader Cochise, have been born there. Born there in the Dragoon Mountains, knew every spire, every seasonal spring, every food and medicine that grew up from the ground. And from that 25-mile-long island of granite and higher-altitude forest, you could see anybody riding in from any direction 2 days before they got there. Cochise Stronghold, that's what the U.S. Army came to call his birthplace, where he fought the invading Americans to a draw and sat down on his own terms to make peace. A peace that was better than nothing, but not by a lot. Cochise Stronghold granite is this particular kind of granite. In truth, as far as we know, his Apache name was anglicized as Cochise, but somewhere along the line it lost the I and became Cochise. Anyway, he died there too. Not by the sword or the gun, but of natural causes in old age. And he's buried up in those rocks somewhere too. Those sacred spires of Cochise Stronghold granite. Well, this is sort of what I was studying up on all while the drama was going on back in Washington, D.C. And then there was a semi-peaceful transfer of power. Not too many people died in the troubles so far. A handful a year, I guess, these past several years. Lots more die from COVID now, of course, and that's a form of government warfare, too. Just look who's dying from it. But a lot of us live a real long time. It's kind of obscene. I was looking at the images from the inauguration. An inauguration means special priest watching the actions of the wild birds and divining whether it's a good time to be making a power transition. And I thought, well, that's really just a bingo game up there, you know? God bless them riding their exercycles and all, but it was a scandal in 1980 when Ronald Reagan won the White House because he was 69 years old when he took office. A nice age, I suppose. Sort of youthful today. Like a member of a classic rock band or something. But in 1980, the age 69 was knocking on heaven's door. Here we get to 2021, and I think the only person up on the inauguration stage who doesn't get the senior discount was Lady Gaga. You get the senior discount from age 55. And they start sending you AARP promotions before you even turn 50. It's all a disgrace. So the last guy was the oldest president to take office, older than Reagan. And now the new guy is a fresh-faced 79, I believe. So now he's the oldest ever to take the oath. With that kind of everything's paid for healthcare, people can be kept alive for really a shocking amount of time. A shocking amount of time to us, anyway. But if you think about those Dragoon Mountains, either 73 or 78 million years old, and they're not even the old part of that area, who knows what happened in all that time in the 70-odd million years before humans. Of course, Cochise did not have any government health care. Unless you call getting shot in the back by U.S. cavalry health care. And he lived till his middle 70s. Now, a funny thing is that some of the United States military sent to kill Cochise were the Buffalo soldiers. Imagine being in this 10th Cavalry immediately after the Civil War. This historic all-black regiment out of Fort Leavenworth and being sent to battle America's indigenous tribes who were fighting for their own freedom. It was the American Indians who named them Buffalo Soldiers. The Apache called them that, same as the Comanche did, for the 10th Cavalry's hair, which the Buffalo soldiers wore wild and untrimmed like everybody living on horseback did back then. To Cochise and to Geronimo, these fierce black soldiers seemed to have the same hair as the sacred bison, the American buffalo. And a century later, Bob Marley would make a classic reggae song about these same soldiers. And speaking of soldiers, you might have seen that Mandalorian show when they bring the magic baby to the stone circle atop a desert mountain so he can commune with God. And then Boba Fett takes out 100 stormtroopers with his walking stick, etc. Well, I was sifting through the recent news to see if the Dragoon Mountains showed up, and they did show up. In the context of apparently being one of the landscapes used in this Robert Rodriguez-directed episode. There's a lot of the American desert in this new show, as there was in the original Star Wars movie of 1977. I wrote about how Death Valley was Tatooine, along with Tunisia, in the very first issue of Desert Oracle back in January of 2015. And Desert Oracle is the name of this radio program. I'm your host, Ken Lane. Soundscapes by Red, Blue, Black, Silver. Here's a UFO report from December 15 of 2020 from Pierce, Arizona. Over the past 7 days, we have had multiple lights hover, move erratically, flash, disappear, and reappear. This goes on for hours. Photos and video have been taken. At first, we thought it was a border patrol flying drones near our ranch, but it could not have been possible due to the duration. We've also had several strange government vehicles from either the NSA or Homeland Security in 3 to 7 vehicle convoys spotted every morning driving to the area of our ranch. We are very secluded and very rural. The lights are near the Dragoon Mountains, which are 4 miles from our ranch. Well, one thing we know about the mountain ranges of our North American deserts is that they are sometimes home to strange recurring displays of brilliant lights that hover and dance and vanish into thin air. On this program, we've talked about the White Mountains on the Nevada state line east of Mono Lake, the Estrella Mountains south of Phoenix. I've told you about the pair of brilliant yellow lights that chased me up the Sheephole Mountains and then vanished when I stopped in the middle of Amboy Road. In every case that I'm aware of, the mountain ranges, known for these strange nocturnal light shows, are deeply holy to the indigenous people of that area. For Cochise, the Dragoon Mountains weren't just his birthplace, his home, his mountain lair, his stronghold, and the place where he was buried. They were the home of the gods, a doorway to higher consciousness, a place to recharge with the Holy Spirit of our sacred home, the Earth. Just as people have done around the world since the dawn of our time. Because whether you're Moses or Jesus or Cochise or Baby Yoda or Alejandro Jodorowsky, the Holy Mountain is the ancient and eternal home of the gods. A man named Scott Heckman, a longtime resident of the near ghost town of Cortland, Arizona, at the south end of the Dragoons, was busy on the Skywatch bulletin boards of the 1980s and 1990s. Here's some of an email from Heckman that was published some 20 years ago by Filer's Files, one of the old UFO email digests. I am always watching for UFOs. Living on Turquoise Mountain, 33 miles north of Bisbee, in a ghost town area called Cortland. There are unknown craft that fly nightly from New Mexico heading west through the Chiricahua Mountains that then take up positions in the Dragoon Mountains. There are 3 craft that assist newly arriving craft, leading them into the high remote canyons in the Dragoons. Some of the new arrivals will remain for about 20 minutes before continuing on to the Roosevelt Lake area, then on to the Tonto Basin northeast of Phoenix. I have followed them to these locations. Some of the crafts fly carefully at low altitudes towards the U.S.-Mexican border. Frequently, I see 3 or more crafts with orange glowing lights or blue-white strobes that flash intermittently when approaching from the east. Sometimes F-16s are scrambled and pursue the unknown vessels back towards the mountains to the east and south and into Mexico's airspace. There is so much air activity, including DEA black helicopters, that many times it is hard to tell what is what. Unless I travel to the Dragoon Mountains to watch the activity up close. The altitude affords me the opportunity to view hundreds of square miles of airspace. On nights when it is really windy, the choppers cannot negotiate the peaks of the mountains. Yet I can set up camp in the remote canyons and ridges to watch these unknown vessels fly where no choppers or conventional aircraft can fly. And watch all these strange unknowns enter the canyons with no problem at all. Despite the heavy winds, they float around and descend into the remote canyons, hidden from view. Imagine if, instead of coming to conquer and kill, the white Americans from the East had come seeking knowledge and brotherhood, along with the usual human pursuits of exploration and commerce. Well, we can't change the past, but we can change the future, the part that hasn't happened yet. It was good news, I think, to hear that an American Indian now heads the U.S. Department of the Interior. The U.S. Department of the Interior, which leads not only the National Park Service and the Bureau of Land Management and cattle leases and any oil or gas or mineral extraction from our public lands, the proper stewardship of which is so crucial to getting us through and preventing the worst of the ongoing climate change we've triggered by that very extraction and burning of oil and coal and gas. Well, it also oversees the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the Bureau of Indian Education, and the Bureau of Trust Funds Administration. Those three bureaus control many billions of dollars allocated to the 574 recognized tribes in America. And now a Laguna Pueblo tribal member is the executive of the entire cabinet-level department, or will be when she's confirmed, etc. Interior, the most important government department most people have never heard of, even though everybody loves national parks. So that's good news, I think, that Deb Haaland will be in charge over there. And speaking of the Chiricahua Apache tribe, Cochise's people, I saw in the newspaper that the recently redecorated Oval Office now has a sculpture by Chiricahua Apache artist Alan Hauser, a sculpture called Swift Messenger, of a Chiricahua Apache warrior riding a horse at high speed. Look it up if you like. Seeing an image of this sculpture might give you a sense of Cochise in his prime, riding like the wind to his homeland and stronghold, the Dragoon Mountains of Cochise County, Arizona. Well, that's enough. I gotta go. Arrangements have been made. I'm almost on the way. The truck's packed up, and I do love to drive by night. Maybe I'll come back with something interesting for you. Maybe I'll come back. Thank you. From Amboy to Zizek's and across the great Mojave Wilderness, this is Desert Oracle Radio, broadcasting from our stronghold here in Joshua Tree, KCDZ 107.7 FM, Friday nights at 10 p.m. And wherever you are, whenever you need us, we are on your podcast player. Just tell your device to play Desert Oracle Radio. Thank you to everybody who picked up our hardcover book, Desert Oracle Volume 1, on MCD Books. And thanks for making it a bestseller in the travel and desert ecosystems and nature writing and history and other such categories. If you are still looking for a copy, try Book Soup in West Hollywood, Point Reyes Books and Point Reyes Station, Skylight Books in Los Angeles, McNally Jackson in New York City, Windmill City Super Number 1 in Palm Springs, Mincing Mockingbird in the station, and Space Cowboy Books in Joshua Tree. Pioneer Town General Store has some copies. May St. Minerva bless them all. This show is supported by listeners like you, as they say. Listeners like you who contribute to our Patreon. That's patreon.com/ Desert Oracle. Oh, and did you know we publish a pocket-sized periodical about the strange and mysterious American desert, too? In fact, that's sort of the whole point of the operation out here. You can subscribe to the print magazine and find links to all this other stuff at desertoracle.com. Good night from the voice of the desert.
It's the bottom of the hour, and you are listening to Desert Oracle Radio Replay, broadcasting on KGVM 95.9 FM, Bozeman Community Radio, and streaming at kgvm.org. Before we get into the mysterious stuff, let's have some nature readings. From Nature, A Day at a Time, by author and naturalist Kathy Katz, the reading for January 25th begins like this. It is clear there is a vocabulary of senses, a grammar beyond that of a human making. And that was from Linda Hogan in First People from Intimate Nature. And then the reading goes on. Armadillos always give birth to four identical babies of the same sex. This unusual birth is the result of one egg dividing after fertilization, eventually producing four embryos. Females can store sperm to be used for future fertilization. Embryo development can be delayed by 2 years after mating. And then she closes with another quote that goes like this. Sex segregation during the breeding season is often facilitated by a phenomenon known as sperm storage. Most female animals have one or more special organs or sites in their reproductive tract that allow them to store a cache of sperm from a prior mating for a long time, using it to inseminate themselves while foregoing heterosexual copulations. And that was from Bruce Baggermill in Biological Exuberance. For January 26th, the reading begins with this. There are ways of knowing and being in the world that have not been available to our own human intelligence. that have only recently entered our perceptual maps, territories, and records. And together, all the different intelligences equal a whole. This, I think, is the telling thing. And that, again, is from Linda Hogan in First People from Intimate Nature. January 26th continues with this. A loud fly buzzing in the middle of winter is probably the awakening of a housefly who slipped through the door at the end of summer. A housefly can remain dormant until the first warmth reaches it, whether artificial or natural. And it closes with this quote, on the coldest day of winter, I'll light a fire in the stove in this room. Then a housefly the size of a Piper cub will appear at the window inside, in the way they gather at the windows to look out at the inhospitable winter. They remind me of elderly, well-stuffed gentlemen, members of a venerable and aristocratic club, who from the windows of the drawing room look out to the street and, seeing the changed world out there, are grateful to be old. I expect any minute one of these flies will abruptly rustle the pages of his Times and ring for a brandy. And that was from Castle Freeman, Jr. in Spring Snow. And I also have a couple readings from Daily Observations, Thoreau on the Days of the Year, Henry David Thoreau, edited by Steve Grant. On January 25th, 1858, Thoreau wrote, "You must love the crust of the earth on which you dwell more than the sweet crust of any bread or cake. You must be able to extract nutriment out of a sand heap. You must have so good an appetite as this, else you will live in vain." And on January 26th, 1853, Thoreau wrote this, "Now I go a-fishing and a-hunting every day, but omit the fish and the game, which are the least important part. I have learned to do without them. They were indispensable only as long as I was a boy." This week was full of wonder for me, and I hope for you too. There was the day the cold front was moving in, and one morning as I was driving on Kagi Road, I saw a halo around the sun. The halo remained for quite a while I made my errands, and included a sundog at one point. The next morning, I looked out my kitchen window, and as the sun warmed the pines just east of our house, it began to snow, but just on that east side of our house. My husband, the Monday Molecules guy, says it has to do with snow subliming. And that's going from a solid directly to gas, and then being cooled right away by the air temperature. So it goes right back to a solid again. Friday, I looked out that same kitchen window again to see the great rear end of a moose grazing on those pines. Well, I hope you're seeing some natural wonders, too, these cold days. Our Desert Oracle Radio episode today touched on a mysterious area of the Southwest, and that got me wondering about mysterious places in Montana. Of course, that had me searching the web, and I found some things you might want to add to your next travel plans in the state. So this comes from Jessica Carroll, who wrote the article on Tuesday, October 1st, 2024, and it was in Bozeman Magazine. You can find her article at bozemanmagazine.com and just do a search for Montana's Most Haunted Hikes. That's the name of her deal. Anyway, she writes, "Everyone knows it's impossible not to fall in love with Montana, whether you're just passing through or have called the beautiful state home for years. Its stunning mountains, expansive skies, and friendly inhabitants are guaranteed to cultivate an adoration that will last a lifetime. However, our beloved Montana is not always as tranquil as it seems. Amidst its magnificent, untamed landscapes lie shockingly sinister secrets. From haunted hotels to ghostly hikes, the state is no stranger to the paranormal. There are several local organizations dedicated to uncovering its many otherworldly mysteries, such as the Montana Paranormal Research Society in Billings, which investigate sites of interest with specialized equipment for spirit detection, and the Bozeman Paranormal Society, which offers historical ghost tours and even private home cleansing services. These researchers' findings, along with local legends passed down through generations of Montanans, have created a rich history of the unusual within the picturesque state. I've compiled some of Montana's most documented supernatural hikes so that you can learn more about its deep-rooted mysticism during the eeriest month of the year. And remember, this was written October 1st, 2024. Anyway, so she begins with Bear Canyon Road. Ever heard of it? Okay, Bear Canyon Road. This moderate 8.2-mile hike is just under 7 miles away from downtown Bozeman, making it the most local hike on the list. One of the most popular hiking and skiing sites near Bozeman, locals and travelers alike have enjoyed all Bear Canyon has to offer for years. Not every visitor has the ideal hiking experience, however. Over 100 people have reported witnessing the supernatural along this picturesque trail. Sasquatch sightings, strange mists, and sightings of a ghostly little girl who lures women deep into the woods have been recorded since the 1880s. Inexplicably drawn to female hikers, this ghost begs the women she appears before to follow her before disappearing when she is unsuccessful. The few women who have dared to accompany her are drawn deep into the woods before the girl eventually vanishes. Although Bear Canyon is widely regarded as the most haunted hike in the Bozeman area, how it became so spirit-infested remains a mystery. The Bozeman Paranormal Society has done extensive research in the area and detected an immense amount of paranormal activity. The group heard a little girl's voice faintly calling their names from the forest, smelled cigarette smoke when no one was smoking, and despite the lack of cell service, received a phantom phone call with only static on the other end. However, don't let these tales of terror deter you from enjoying majestic Bear Canyon. As long as you don't follow strange girls and answer unexplained phone calls, you'll be just fine. The next place listed in this article is called the French Woman's Road. The French Woman's Road is near several moderate to challenging hikes in the Continental Divide area and is around 80 miles away from downtown Bozeman. Well known as the site of a gruesome murder, the French Woman's Road's tragic history began in 1867 with the Guyots, a French couple who managed the area. Constant Guyot built a road across the Continental Divide that was so popular with travelers that his wife, Madame Guyot, ran a small hostel to house them. Beloved by all for her warm hospitality, the community was left shocked and devastated when Mrs. Guyot was discovered brutally killed in her own cabin. Although no one was convicted of the crime, many suspect her husband, who had abusive tendencies, and fled shortly after the murder. For years after her death, rumors circulated about the hostel being haunted by Madame Guyot's spirit. Multiple visitors claimed to see her ghost and hear footsteps when no one was near. Even now, 155 years later, travelers passing through the Continental Divide Trail have reported numerous strange encounters, from ghostly wails to a mysterious mist that haunts the hike. If you choose to explore the majestic woods near the Continental Divide, make sure to keep your eye out for wandering French ghosts. And then she talks about the Warren Park Trail. This paranormal trail is 3 miles of moderate hiking and 206 miles from downtown Bozeman, making it a 3-hour drive. As many can guess from the location of this hike, Garnet Ghost Town's famous Warren Park Trail is rich with haunted history. Before the town was largely abandoned in the 1940s, it was a prosperous mining community. One resident, Edward Brooke Warren, decided to distance himself from the settlement, building a small cabin about a mile away. The Civil War veteran didn't want total isolation, however. He decided to build a park so that people from Garnet would still visit him. Now, decades after his death, the Warren Park Trail takes hikers past his old home and through the tranquil mountains that surround it. While stopping to enjoy the landscape as Garnet residents had done years before, some visitors report hearing a distant voice or even catching glimpses of a man believed to be the ghost of Edward amongst the trees. Witnesses say he still seems as friendly as he was in life. So don't fear a run-in with this departed miner. The next site she mentions is the Oti Park Trail. Maybe it's Otai. It's O-T-I. About 90 minutes away from downtown Bozeman is this short 1.9-mile difficult hike where rich history collides with the supernatural. Another ghost town hike, the Otai Park Trailhead, takes hikers to the deserted mining camp of Barker. The mining camp suffered during the Silver Panic in 1893 and was shut down during the Great Depression, but the town's legacy doesn't end there. Considered by some to be the most haunted hike in Montana, many visitors claim to experience strange phenomena in the area. Sounds of men being whipped, horses where there are none, and even some sightings of ghostly miners are not uncommon. The Barker Ghost Camp is a beautiful way to reflect on Montana's rich history, whether or not you experience any paranormal activity on your way there. And then she goes on with the Old North Trail. To experience this hike, travel around 200 miles north of downtown Bozeman to this moderate 2,000-mile-long trail, which is not a modern, well-defined path, where you can stop and turn back whenever you like. A path used by American Indians for centuries, the Old North Trail is a site still beloved by all its visitors, despite the damage new towns and development have recently inflicted on it. Throughout the trail, many ancient cairns can be found, the product of humans gathering in the area thousands of years ago. Although these cairns are beautiful and fascinating, many believe they hint at the underlying presence of ancient spirits. Nothing ghostly has ever been seen along the trail, but some visitors claim to hear unusual noises and are overcome with a sense of paranoia. Are these hikers victims of overactive imagination, or is there really something supernatural lurking along this trail? You'll have to go on the hike yourself to find out. I continued to do some more research on mysterious places in Montana and came up with a YouTube video on something called the Sage Wall. And on this video, which you can find yourself, it's about 30 minutes long, and it's a man and his partner, and they give a good history of the place. They also compare it to some sites in Wyoming, and I will leave it to you if you want to check that out on YouTube. Do a search for Sage Wall. And then I found a website, because he had mentioned the Sage Mountain Center, which is where this property is. and it's at sagemountain.org. And on that website, there's a nice little piece that reads like this. Beneath the surface of Sage Mountain Center lies a foundation of granite and crystal. Above ground, magnificent rock formations rise in shapes and scales that inspire wonder. Our lives here are deeply entwined with these formations, which belong to the little-known 75-million-year-old boulder batholith of North America. The boulder batholith is a relatively small geologic formation in southwestern Montana. A batholith is a mass of plutonic rock larger than 100 square kilometers or 40 square miles in area and forms from magma cooling deep within the Earth's crust. It was named for the distinctive rounded boulders that characterize its landscape, sculpted by the weathering of fractured granite. In 1996, while hiking on the property, we discovered the Sage Wall, a jaw-dropping marvel standing 275 feet long and 24 feet high. Visitors from around the world come to see this mystery and bring a range of questions. Is it a sacred structure of timeless healing? An ancient megalith built by early beings? A natural formation? To make the wall more accessible and showcase its wonder, we built a moderate 2-mile trail system that winds through our land and along the mountainside. Other features of our trail include old-growth Douglas fir trees, some over 400 years old, spectacular views of Ruby Valley 20 miles away, and the Highland Mountain Range, whose peaks reach 10,000 feet. We hope our ongoing scientific research will help answer the many questions Sage Wall inspires. At the same time, we recognize that science is ever-evolving and often trails behind intuition. We are equally inspired and informed by visiting shamans, tribal leaders, and seekers from diverse religious and spiritual backgrounds. Notably, the largest quartz crystal ever found in Montana, renowned for its metaphysical properties, was discovered here and now resides at the Montana Bureau of Mines and Geology's Mineral Museum in Butte. One of the gifts of living among ancient geologic features is the connection to a broader sense of time. Rather than thinking back 600 years to the arrival of Europeans in North America, or 300,000 years to the origins of modern Homo sapiens, we can directly observe and touch material that is millions of years old. In the context of geological time, a human lifespan of 80 years is but a grain of sand on the beach. This awareness can bring an appreciation of the preciousness and possibility of the moment and evokes a sense of belonging to the timeless family of all things. And finally, my internet search also brought up this. And the website is mosthauntedplacesintheworld.com, and this is Haunted Places in Montana. And they write, tucked away in the forest near Bozeman, the Bear Canyon Campground is a peaceful place to enjoy Montana's striking natural beauty. But when the sun goes down, the campground becomes one of the most haunted places in Montana. Campers heard strange noises, saw shadowy figures, and felt like they were being watched. The most famous ghost story from Bear Canyon is that of a young boy, this one says it's a boy, who drowned in a nearby creek, so I don't know if this is a separate one or not. Anyway, he wanders the campground, often appearing near the water's edge. Some have heard the sound of a kid laughing or splashing in the water with no one there. The campground is also known for mysterious lights that appear in the woods at night. These glowing orbs move through the trees and vanish without a trace. Whether it's the spirit of the young boy or something else, Bear Canyon Campground is creepy. And again, that website is mosthauntedplacesintheworld.com. And then haunted-places-in-Montana. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of places now on my list of want-to-goes for Montana for when the season gets a little more friendly to camping. Let's talk about some events coming up around Bozeman. You can still view Matthew Barney's film Redoubt at the Rialto Theater in Bozeman. The showings are Thursday through Sunday at noon and at 2:15, and it's free to the public as a part of Tin Works at Rialto. And this opportunity has been extended through March 1st. Now, I went to see this film, and I would gladly see it again. To me, oh my, you talk about showing, not telling. Holy smokes. It is beautiful. And when I came away from it, I wanted to know more about the director and why he chose certain scenes and what they might mean and all that. So it really sent me down a happy little, what do they call it, rabbit hole. Anyway, if you're curious to see something remarkable, I highly recommend it, but that's just me. And then at the Museum of the Rockies, they do have a workshop going on Tuesday, January 30th. I'm just going to read it to you here. Beating Our Stories, Beating Earrings Workshop, Tuesday, January 30th. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. in the Red Start Classroom. It's $30 for a member, $35 for a non-member, and registration is required. And the little blurb says, dive into an immersive beadwork experience to connect with deep cultural heritage, develop new skills regardless of your level, and leave with a stunning handcrafted pair of beaded earrings. There's so much more in our area to do. Just have fun out there. Keep connecting. Our background audio today has been The Fire in My Wood Stove, The Burning Wood. Thanks to Red, Blue, Black, Silver and to Ken Lane for sharing their work on Desert Oracle Radio. Thanks all the volunteers and supporters and underwriters of KGVM. And to you for listening. Do you have a story about a mysterious place in Montana? I'd love to hear it. You can leave a text or voicemail for me at 406-424-6246. This program broadcasts on the air at 95.9 FM, Bozeman Community Radio, or you can stream it online at kgvm.org. at 7 Sunday nights and 9 Monday mornings. Our past Desert Oracle Radio replay episodes are archived for you on the KGVM.org website. Don't give up on the snow. Watch those skies. Keep doing good things and sweet dreams. Stay warm and well, and I'll see you next week. And I'm going to leave you with this. From Edward E. Hale, and he lived from 1822 to 1909, and he wrote, I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. See you next week.